All right. Well, I think we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning. I mean, it's church, right? I'm back here. And, you know, if you're in church worshiping, you always have to start with a duck race. So we're going to have a duck race this morning. If you ladies are Peter and Tessa are going to give us a hand here. And, all right. And you guys know where your starting lines are, right? All right, good, because this is what you do in church, right? Come on. Duck races. All right, so there's a starting line over there. There's a starting line right here. And Peter and Tessa are the proud owners of these lovely ducks. And they are going to do this. The challenge is going to be, Peter and Tessa, you with me? You're going to, when I say go, you're going to get your duck from the starting line to the finish line up here. There's a starting line and a finish line up here. They are going to use their sticks and their wisdom and their know-how and their duck calling prowess to get those ducks from point A to point B. And the one that gets here first will be the winner. And you know what you win? Nothing. But, yes, thunderous applause. And then the second place person will also get thunderous applause as well. So does that make sense? Everybody follow what we're going to do? If the duck comes near you, please do not kick it. If you feel like the duck has created an affinity and an attraction to you and you would like to take it home, Kara and John would like to have a conversation with you afterwards. So those are the ducks. That is the understanding. Everybody understand what you're doing? Peter and Tessa, are you good? Thumbs up? Yeah, thumbs up. Okay. All right, Brian, can we have a little bit of racing music? And I will say go. When I say go, I will tell you. So racing music cue now. That sounds like some good racing music. Wait, ready? On your mark. Get set. Go. Finish line's up here. Oh, there we go, okay. And this one isn't even moving. Oh, he's flying away. Okay, we got some movement over here. Peters is moving forward. And they're still at the starting line. That's its own illustration. Uh-oh. We lost one. Okay. It is going the wrong way. Please guide that duck back onto the path. Come on. Come here, ducky, ducky. All right, it is totally going the off-road course. It's in love with the other duck. Okay, it's just stuck in the middle. Go for it. Direct it back. All right. Oh, we got some movement over here. Oh, okay. Where are we going? All right. Come on, Peter. I know you can do it. You're going the wrong way. Oh. We're getting close. How you feeling, Aaron? That duck wants to be personal. Oh. Pulling up the wind. Hold on. Where are we? Where's the other duck? We lost the duck. It is totally lost. Oh, no. Now we lost two ducks. They're like, what the heck is going on? Why are we here? I don't know. One of you stand behind and look how they're working as a team. Sometimes you need a little bit of help. And come on. Hey, we have a winner. All right. Do we have a second one? Come on, Jack. Come on. All right. Thank you. Why don't we give a hand for Peter and Tessa and their ducks? And I suppose I should apologize ahead of time if you have a down allergy. Because that will put you down. So welcome to MC3. If you're a guest here, we're hoping you have a good time. And if you're not a guest here, we're hoping you have a good time today. We like to do things differently. And we started last week a series called Family Hacks. And over these 2 months, we're looking at different little tricks and tidbits and helpful things to make your family better. If you've ever seen, you know, life hacks or any hacks on TV, on Pinterest, on Facebook, you know, things like cut the lid off of a laundry detergent bottle and stick it in your cigarette outlet and it'll improve your gas mileage. At least that's what they say. But we're doing tips that are actually based on the Word of God. Oh, clean up in aisle one. can we have a light here, actually? We're good. Light's back off. We're going to turn them on in a second. We'll just keep flashing them. But anyway, we're looking at little biblical tips on how we can become better families. And as I shared last week, you know, this series is going to kind of hit a whole bunch of different issues. The two things I told you, one is that it might not be directed at you every week because we're going to look at different parts. And if you're single, the marriage part, you know, might be something you can look forward to, but it's not where you are now. And if you're married, the single part isn't about you. You know, all these different things, so just understand that. But hopefully there's something that you can walk away with each week that God uses to speak to your heart. The other thing I want you to understand is you're probably going to have your toes stepped on a little bit. Because, you know, as parents, as families, as our culture has kind of shifted and swung, you know, we've either gotten lazy, we get misdirected, we get some different ideas of what things look like, and we're going to just try to come back to what does the Word of God say about our families? What are the things that we need to do to become better families? And that's wherever you find yourself in your family. You might be the parent, you might be the spouse, you might be the grandparent, you might be the child, you might be the brother, the sister. So hopefully there's something that we can all walk away with. And I want to talk this week, we're going to talk about parenting twice in the course of this series, once on Mother's Day, once on Father's Day. It seems to be appropriate. And I want to kind of get this concept, if you didn't pick up on what was going on there, but there were ducks that had to get to a finish line. There was a goal placed before them, and it took their parents, their owners, that's not a good word to use when it comes to family, but you know what I'm saying, it took that responsible person to guide them toward the finish line. I don't know if you noticed, but they had sticks, staffs, rods, I don't know what you call them, and they kept directing them. And sometimes they would get off the path and it would require them to bring it back. Sometimes they had to physically pick them up and move them back. And if you notice, they even worked together at one point, which is kind of a cool thing too. That wasn't part of my plan there. But all the way, there was a starting line and a finish line, and it was the job of that person, it was the job of Peter, it was the job of Tessa to help guide and direct that duck to the finish line. And at times, they would use the staff and kind of push them off to the side. They might kind of pull them over a little bit. And it may have just been slightly uncomfortable for the duck. But it was okay, because it was going for a purpose. It was to get them to the finish line. And that is what our job is as parents. God has given us children, and if they are our biological children, if they are adopted children, we're actually going to talk about adoption at the end of this series. If you're the grandparent, if you're the child caregiver, whatever, your job in that role as a parent is to get them to the finish line. And the finish line is Jesus. The finish line is the end of life. And a couple of years ago, we did a series called Start Cheating, and I had a baby thing that sleeps, a crib. I had a crib up here, and I had a suitcase. And we talked about the idea that from the moment of birth, your job as a parent, as they are born and put in that crib, your job is to pack their bags for when they leave. Because your job is to set them up for living outside of your home. Your job is to set them up to live, not just so that they can survive and thrive and all that good stuff, but to even more on the level what we're talking about in here is to be growing in their relationship with Jesus, to be growing as followers of Him. And so that is our job as parents. And of course, we had ATU last week, and every month in ATU, we talk about how, you know, God has not given the church, it has not given MC3 or any church the responsibility to raise your children. God has given parents that responsibility. And whether you choose to follow up on that is your call, not ours. And the thing that we do as a church is we want to come alongside you and help you. We want to be the John and Kara to come alongside and help them as they are guiding their ducks. And as you know, if you have been a parent, if you've been around a parent, if you've ever been near a child, sometimes they don't go the way we want them to go. Sometimes. And when that happens, sometimes we have to correct them to get them back on the path. And sometimes that correction isn't pleasant for the child. Sometimes that correction isn't pleasant for the parent. But it doesn't change the fact that our job as parents is to get our kids to cross the finish line. And we're going to have to correct them to do it. Because if Peter and Tessa chose to just back off and not do a thing, those ducks would end up, who knows where they would have ended up. And of course, if we opened the doors, those ducks could have ended out on a road. And then it would have been, you know, Peking duck for lunch, I guess, after you'd clean it up off of the road. But the whole point was that Tessa and Peter, and as parents, our job is to keep redirecting them. And when we redirect them, it might seem cruel or unfair or mean to the duck, to the child. But we understand that we're trying to direct them to something that's more important, something that matters, something that's going to help them, save them, protect them even. And so what I want you to get, this is the point for this week that we're going to be talking about, is to try this parenting hack. Discipline to show your love. And I think this is the challenge, is that a lot of times, again, in culture, and it is God, and I understand, we'll talk a little bit about abuse in a bit, but it's gotten to the point where we are either lazy or afraid to discipline our kids. Or we just think, well, that's going to be mean and they're not going to be fully developed and they're not going to be as happy as they want because we want them to be our best friend. And no, that is not your job to be your kid's best friend. Your job is to pack their bags and get them across the finish line, get them out following Jesus. And so I want you to understand that when you discipline, you are showing love. And somehow culture, people, whatever, have made this the exact opposite. That discipline is a sign of dislove, of anger, of meanness, of cruelty. But I want you to understand, when it comes to the Word of God, which is our standard, not Dr. Phil, that the point is to say, okay, God is going to show us here that discipline is an act of love. Because choosing not to discipline will let them wander wherever they want. And you know what? Sometimes they end up in the right spot. They do. That happens. But we aren't here to be leaders or be parents based on the odds. We're here to do what God has called us to do. And so I want to look at this passage. The lights will turn back on now. If you have a paper Bible, if you have the YouVersion app, tap on YouVersion. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 13. And this is a passage that, you know, you probably have heard if you've been in church before. This is the classic, like, discipline passage. And frankly, it's been used in all sorts of ways. And I just want to look at what does it say. Because we can use it for all sorts of things. I mean, whoever spares the rod, you know, some people have, like, this is God saying it's important to go fishing. I don't think that's what it means, but if that is your opinion, well, hopefully that will be changed here in a moment. But I want to look at this passage, and this is what it says. This is Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs was written by a whole bunch of different people. Most of them were written by Solomon, who was the wisest person ever to live. He asked God for wisdom. God said, I'll give you whatever you want. And Solomon said, give me wisdom. And God said, okay. So he was aside from Jesus, who was God in the flesh on this earth, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And so he kind of wrote a collection of sayings, of wise sayings, things to be aware of, things to learn from, or you could call them Proverbs, which we do. So this is what he writes in Proverbs chapter 13 in verse 24. He says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now, just to be straight up here, there are some strong words right in this. Hate and love. They're pretty intense, and we're going to look at them in just a moment. But I want you to understand that this is the basis for the idea of we as parents need the discipline to show our love, not because we don't love, but because we do. And so I want to look at this idea of staying on the path, because our job is to keep our children, to guide our children down the path. And sometimes we're going to have to correct them. Sometimes they're going to go on their own way. Sometimes you're going to be off the path and they're going to be on it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, too, about, you know, what we talked last week about Jesus being the cornerstone or the capstone of our family, being the keystone there, the most important part. And that affects us as parents. But I want to look at this idea, just break this passage down and talk about staying on the path. What does it look like? The first thing is that, and I've already said this 300 times, but discipline shows love. Discipline shows love. Again, you may have thought, well, that's mean. And what about, I don't want to withhold something from my child. I don't want to spank my child. I don't want to tell them they have to go into timeout. Whatever. We have this idea that discipline is a lack of love. And really, it is just the opposite. And here's what it says there. Just going back to that passage. It says, whoever spares the rod hates their children. Now, first of all, let's talk about the rod. The rod is a Hebrew word that means a tribe or a branch, looking at a family tree, or a stick or a pole, a staff, a scepter. And the way the word rod is used is referring often in the Bible to either a king who holds a scepter of authority or someone that uses that scepter to guide and direct people. So the word is a physical object. It is a physical tool. It is a thing that is used for discipline. And so if you choose not to use a tool of discipline, then he goes on and says, you hate your children. Now, I don't think you hate your kids. And I think you love your kids. And Solomon is saying here, the writer of this proverb is saying, look, if you don't discipline, if you fail to discipline your kids, you hate them. And this word means, I mean, it's intense. It's to hate people, to be alienated from, to be unloving. And so the writer of this proverb is saying, look, if we're not disciplining, if we're not correcting, if we're not redirecting, and we'll come to all those pieces here in a minute, it is a sign of hatred towards our kids. And we think, oh, you know, we're going to be their buddies. We're going to be their best friends. They're going to like us better because all their friends are getting grounded. Not my kid. They don't get in trouble. Maybe you're not doing the right thing. Because we think perhaps that we're doing the right thing, but in the end, it's actually a sign of hating, of not loving our kids. Because our goal isn't to make them happy. Our goal isn't to make them our best friend. Frankly, that's the job of your spouse, and no one else should fill that role. Our goal is to get them across the finish line. Our goal is to get them out of the house. Our goal is to get them to be followers of Jesus. And that's going to require correction. And the reason it's going to require correction is because every one of us, including myself, stink from sin. If you are Jesus, and I don't know the story of what happened being Mary and Joseph raising God, who never sinned, I will give Jesus a free pass on this one. But the rest of us sin, and we choose our own way, and we choose to go off of the path. And you do that as adults. We do that as parents. We do that as spouses. We do that in everything because we are sinners, and we are stuck in our sin. Jesus died to free us from that, and we don't have to be stuck. And, of course, one day when Jesus returns or we are dead, if we are followers of His, we will be ultimately free from sin. But now we're not, and your kids are sinners too. And no one had to teach your kid how to be bad. That's unfortunate. I mean, even infants throw temper tantrums. If they don't get their food right away, it's sin. We are sinners. And because of that, our job is to direct them along the path. And discipline is a way of showing them love because that's the goal. It's not, I mean, do you really want them to get to the end of their life, like, I didn't really learn anything from you, but we were buds. Do you want to get them to get to the end of their life and say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt, Uncle, whatever. Thank you, because I'm following Jesus because of you. Last week we talked about that idea of being an example and how that's important in our families, to be an example of following Jesus. We look at the passage where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And what's so interesting that I brought up that old 80s commercial, you know, from you, all right? I learned it by watching you, and how parents who use drugs have kids that use drugs. And I was thinking this week, like, what if we were able to flip that? Who taught you how to study your Bible like this? You, all right? I learned it by watching you. Who taught you that these are the kind of people you shouldn't be allowing to affect your decisions in life? You, all right? I learned it by watching you. Who taught you that going to church and growing as a part of the body of Christ was important? You, all right? I learned it by watching you. And that's the thing. Our goal is to direct them along that path. And so the writer of Proverbs here is saying, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline. And the word love here is a Hebrew word, is ahav. Ahab, and you can say that if you want, but you need to wipe off the head of the person in front of you because you'll spit something there. Ahab, and that is the same word, and we talked about this word last week. The New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That's what people spoke there during that time, and in the New Testament they spoke Greek. And the Greek word for this same concept is agape, is unconditional love, is that selfless, that giving love. And so we're seeing here that whoever chooses not to discipline hates their kids, but the one who agapes their kids is careful to discipline them. And so again, you're going to hear this over and over because that's the point. I want you to get that discipline is love. It's not a bad thing. And I also want you to know that right now your kids are learning the same thing. Your kids are learning that when their parents discipline them, it's a sign of love. And, you know, not that they need to be happy about it, but understanding that in the big picture, this is love because they're directing them on the path. It's also going to hold you a little bit accountable, too, just so you know. Just heads up now. Mom, how come you never discipline me? Ouch. I'm just throwing that out there. And maybe you say, oh, I do. It's in these ways. But understand that this is a sign of love for directing the kid, our kids on their path. So the second thing about discipline, discipline shows love. And the second thing is that discipline takes time. Discipline takes time. It requires work. Work is hard. Work takes time. Work takes work. And so if you think, well, like, hey, I did the hard part. As a mom, Mother's Day, you had a baby. That's pretty hard. Unfortunately, it's not over. And as dads, you haven't done anything hard, okay? So it's going to be hard work. I'm talking about the childbirth process, if you understand what I'm saying. We'll talk about that in a couple more weeks. Just if you're not sure what I'm talking about, come back in June. We will be talking about sex. Okay, but for you know, the whole, like, the work isn't over. The work is just beginning because it's hard. It is hard to keep them. Did you see Peter and Tessa trying to keep the ducks on the path? They can't sit back and just say, oh, I'll get to it when I feel like it. Or, oh, well, now I'm going to be intentional about it, but other times you just let them go. And you can't choose to be intentional or unintentional. It takes time. You must be intentional. You must do it on purpose, even if it's not convenient. And I think this is the challenge, like, for those that say, yeah, I want to do this. I want to direct my kids on the right path. But a lot of times it's not convenient to discipline your kids. And of course, this is within context. I mean, sometimes you're in a crowd, you're with people, and it's just not the time. But maybe the drive home is the time. But a lot of times it's easier to ignore the problem and it'll go away. But it doesn't. All it's going to do is get worse. All it's going to do is change its form as the children grow. But if we take the time right away, and you know, we've got infants in the room, not in the room now, but in the building, you know, start now. And if you've got a teenager, start now. Like, because you need to start as soon as you can to be intentional about disciplining your kids, guiding them, directing them, keeping them on the path. And I will say this, that it doesn't necessarily get easier, but the more consistent you are, the easier it gets. I don't know what other word to use. Because consistency breeds consistency. It breeds a process. But ignoring problems make it all messed up. And kids are people. You know, and sometimes, like, and I am totally guilty, and I don't have to be accountable because my daughters are in the room. So afterwards, you can ask them, is he truth? He's like, I messed up. Sometimes if dad says this, you better do it. Other times if dad says this, he's not going to really come through. And it comes down to, is dad busy? What's going on? What's on TV? And that's not appropriate. And so I have to say, if this is wrong, it's going to be wrong all the time. If this is going to be require a punishment, it's going to require a punishment all the time, not just when I have time to focus on what you're doing. So discipline takes time. And this is what the writer of Proverbs says. Whoever spares the rod hates the children, but the one who loves the children is careful to discipline them. The word careful means to seek, to look, to search for. It's a word that really means to take the time. And I know some translations don't have the word careful. They say something like, you know, and caring. Other ones are a little bit different. But this word means to be intentional, to take the time, to seek out ways, and this sounds weird, but seek out opportunities for discipline. And not that you're standing by with like a paddle going, come on, come on, what you got, what you got? Not like that. But just being intentional and saying, okay, is this an opportunity for me to discipline, for me to correct? Because you're not correcting them, and we'll get to this in a little bit, you're not correcting them just to hurt them physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever. You're doing it so that they see that, oh, this is important. And sometimes maybe when you're intentional about the discipline now, hey, keep your hand off of that stove. SWAT. Oh, that was mean. That was cruel, parents. How dare you discipline your child for that? Well, you can ignore it. And then when you're in the ER with the burns, and then, of course, they're going to ask you the question, how did your child get these burns? They have other questions to answer. But you can ignore those things, or you can be careful. You can seek and search out for opportunities. And we'll talk about what this is going to look like, how this is going to happen, so bear with me there. But understanding you can't just be lazy, and you must be consistent. Honestly, stop counting. Stop counting. Counting doesn't do anything unless your kids don't know how to count. You're welcome to sit down with your kids and say, okay, what comes after one? Two. Yay! Okay, good. That's great. Teach your kids to count. Apparently, my parents didn't teach me to count enough because math is not my forte. But stop counting. Stop saying, oh, if you don't listen, I'm going to count to three. And then we get to three, and they're like, oh, I'm going to count to ten. No, that's not discipline. That's you being a lazy butt parent. That's just sitting back and saying, you know, I'm just going to keep counting. Like, if you're going to be a parent, if you're going to discipline your child, it's going to require intentionality. It's going to require you to be careful. It's going to require you to be consistent. So if you say, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your Kindle privileges, then they better lose their Kindle privileges if they don't do it, or they're not going to know what's right and what's wrong. And I'm saying that as if you're a child. As you're listening to this, and I mean, how many, I'm not going to have you raise your hand because your boss might be in the room, but have you ever been with a boss that one day this is what they want, and then the next day that's what they want, and you're going, what are we supposed to do? Kara's nodding her head. Yes, I do the ATU packs with Sean every month. You know, but you know what that's like? And think about it from a child's perspective. So wait, sometimes if I do this, I'll really lose my Kindle. Other times if I do it, I won't. Sometimes they're going to roll the dice. You know what? It's worth it to me because probably dad's not going to really come through on what he said because I know that right now dad's playing his Xbox. So I don't have to worry about that because maybe he'll start counting at me. And I'm there going, uh-huh, what's next? Yeah, keep on counting, dad. You know, like, it's going to require consistency. It's going to require intentionality. It's going to require you to be careful, to seek out the opportunities to discipline. And here's the thing, too, about this seeking out. Again, it's not you just waiting to get them, to wail on them, or to put them in timeout or anything like that. It's because it's looking for an opportunity to say, hey, can we talk about why this is wrong? Can we talk about why you shouldn't be doing this? And that will direct them along the right path. By the way, the building is not falling down. That's just our exhaust fan squeaky. So, staying on the path. Discipline shows love. Discipline takes time. And the third thing, and this is the goal here, is that discipline gives direction. The reason you discipline is to correct and educate, to keep your kids on the path. That is the goal. To keep your kids on the path. Now, let me just put a little caveat in here, a little note, a little warning as parents. If your job as a parent is to keep the kids on the path, you need to know the path. And that requires you as parents to be growing. That requires you as parents to make sure that your relationship with Christ is in a spot. That requires me as a father to make sure that I am where I need to be so that I can clearly tell them this is what it looks like because I know, because I'm there. And I'm not perfect. God disciplines me, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, I need to be corrected. I have brothers and sisters and a wife and kids, frankly, that help correct me on the path. But the more we spend time growing in Jesus, the more that Jesus is that keystone, the better we will know the path and the better we'll be able to keep them on it. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. And if you don't know where your kids are going, you're never going to get there. There is a finish line. There is a path. But we need to make sure we understand what it is. So just as an aside, you're going to need to be growing to understand that path, what that looks like. So discipline gives direction. And this is what the last part of that proverb says. It is whoever spares the rod, hates the children. The one who loves the children is careful to discipline them. And the word discipline is a word that means to correct, to educate, it means to put them back on the path. And that could be verbal discipline, it could be physical discipline, but the word means to educate, to train, to teach. It doesn't mean to hurt. Understand that. And we'll talk in a little bit, discipline should sting. But that's not the goal. The goal isn't hurt. The goal is to stay on the path, to correct, to train, to show them. No, I know you got a spanking on your behind for trying to touch the stove. I want you to understand why. Because if you had touched the stove, you would burn yourself. And so that is the goal. The goal of discipline is to correct, to educate, to train. And that's going to require some more intentionality. And we'll get to that in a little bit here. It's going to require some responsibility on our part. Because it's a lot easier just to hurt. I mean, you could give up the counting and just send them the time out right away or whatever you choose to do. Take away the Kindle, turn off the TV, you know, take away the keys, whatever that looks like. Take away the Wi-Fi. Change the password. But whatever that looks like, it has to be an intentional process. It has to be on purpose to educate them and train them, not just to punish them, not just to hurt them. The goal is bigger than that. So that's the point. We're trying to keep the kids on the path. We want them to stay on the path. And so that's going to require love. Discipline shows love. When you discipline, your kids won't think of that way. But you're bigger than them and more mature. And I mean older, not physically bigger. I mean, I'm right now currently still bigger than my children, but we'll see. My daughter was wearing one of my shirts yesterday. But I'm older and potentially, hopefully, a little bit more mature and a little bit wiser and able to say, you know what, I know this doesn't feel good to you, but I know the bigger picture because I understand the path. And so discipline shows love. Discipline takes time because it's going to require work. And it gives direction because your job is to get them back on the path. That wasn't those little rod staffs for the ducks there. That wasn't just to hurt them. And it didn't even hurt them much. It was to guide them onto the path to keep them focused. So if you're listening online, we did not abuse ducks in the building. No reason to call PETA or anything like that. They're happy, happy, fat ducks. Okay. So anyway, so here's the point again is that this parenting hack that I want you to do is to discipline to show your love. Discipline to show your love. Discipline to show your love. That is a sign of love is discipline. Love equals discipline. Discipline equals love. No discipline equals hate. Discipline to show your love. So let's talk about the way of discipline. What does that look like? Hopefully you kind of say, yes, this is important. I want to show my kids that I love them. What does that look like? What is the way of discipline? And so I want to talk about a few things from the Bible here. The first thing is the attitude of discipline. And the attitude of discipline is loving. Now, I just said that discipline equals love. But I'm using the word loving as opposed to anger. We are not to discipline in anger. Discipline is not designed for revenge. It's not designed as a way to, oh, you hurt me, kid. Now I'm going to hurt you. If that is where you are at that moment, stop and step back. And I'm not saying you... and we'll talk in just a second. It's going to sting. It's going to hurt. It should. But if you're doing it in anger, you just need to step back. And I understand, we get angry. And we get angry righteously. I mean, Jesus was angry. He flipped temple tables. Tables in the temple. He was angry. And it was a good anger. And we can be angry like, oh, we're going to be hurt. I'm so sad that you made that choice. I'm disappointed. That's all fine. That's parenting. That's humanity. That's compassion. That's a good thing. But if your response is, I'm going to get you back because of that, or if you are angry, if your hand flies before your mouth does, before your brain works, then you should stop. Because discipline should be done with a loving attitude. And this is what Ephesians chapter 4 says. Paul is writing to this church in Ephesus and talking about a bunch of different problems. And he says, listen, don't sin by letting anger control you. So he says that anger, if it controls you, can become sin. And if you are disciplining in anger, it can become sin because it's no longer correction and education. It becomes punishment, revenge, pain, hurt, abuse, whatever. And that's frankly where some of these things lead, is along those lines. He says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. He says, look, parents, moms, dads, listen. Grandparents, caregivers, wherever you are, don't let anger control you. It will be sin. It will lead to sin. And again, there's a time for anger and there's a place for it, and it's appropriate within bounds and context, but discipline is not that spot. If it is, I just encourage you to step back. Walk away for a few minutes. And we get angry. I have been angry. What? I told you like 500 times not to do that. And there you did it again. And guess what you did? You broke it. And I got that for Christmas last year. And we get angry. And if I anger, respond in discipline, you broke my tool, I'm going to break you. Wrong. It's got to be an attitude of correction. So in those moments, I need to step back. There's still training. There's still discipline that needs to take place here. Don't get me wrong. But if it's in a response, if it is a physical reaction in anger, if it's a word spoken in anger, if it are things said out of a mouth that is just spewing fury, you need to step back. Because anger becomes sin. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. Satan can get a step in. We want Jesus to be the biggest priority. Paul is saying, look, be careful, because anger, that kind of pushes Jesus out of the spot of the keystone there. And as we saw last week, if the keystone is not in place, the rest of it crumbles. So he says, be careful. So the first thing, the attitude needs to be loving, not anger. And again, there's going to be times we're going to be angry. Step away, still come back. We talked about that earlier, that you need to be consistent. And so just because you're angry doesn't mean your kids get a free pass. I'll get them really mad, then I'm good to go. No. You still come back and say, hey, there's something that you need to learn here. You did something that I told you not to do. You disobeyed. We are called to obey. We are told to obey. You are told to obey. You're obeying something because I have, for your best intentions and for the sake of, frankly, stewardship, I guess you could say, we spent a lot of money on that tool and you broke it. So you come back and say, I want to discipline. You're going to be disciplined now. You're going to be corrected because we need to fix the problem. We want to get you back on the path. We're not ignoring it, but we're not doing it out of anger. And that's the key, that the attitude needs to be loving. And so with that, you have to be, again, you have to be intentional. You have to come back and say, okay, what do I need to do here to correct this situation? The second thing is that the method, and hear me out on this one, the method should sting. The method should sting. When you discipline kids, and I'm not necessarily, stings in quotes, it doesn't mean your kids need to have, it does mean your kids shouldn't have black and blue marks all over them, because that was probably, frankly, done in anger. But it should sting a little. If it doesn't hurt, it's not discipline. Oh, no big deal. Nobody's afraid of a fly landing on them. Right? But if a bee is landing on you, the reaction tends to be a little bit different. The reaction might be like, oh no. Or it might be, ah! If you might be somebody that I happen to know. But the issue is the sting. The issue is the way it hurts. And so that sting may be something physical. Maybe they need to have their hands stinging a little bit. Maybe their bottom needs to sting a little bit. Maybe it needs to hurt. Maybe when they're punished, you take, you know, like, most, I don't know what your house and your family is like, but today technology makes sending our kids to our room not a punishment. It's a benefit. Cool, then I don't even have to talk to you, and I can go hang out with all my devices and have so much fun, watch my TV, play my tablet, and listen to the music I want. That doesn't sting. That's just laziness on our part, because it's easier to say that. But hit them where it hurts. Take away their phone. Ouch. Well, but I'm a teenager. No, you don't anything. You disobeyed. And I'm going to show you that it's important to listen. So you're losing your phone. Does that hurt a little bit? But my friends might text me, and that person, they might need a babysitter. You probably should consider that the next time, because the discipline is now stinging. And again, as a small child, that's different than an older child. And as they grow up, I mean, my parents haven't spanked me easily in, oh man, it's got to be like 20 or 30 months. No. Obviously, that changes. The discipline looks different. And frankly, I'm out of the home. My parents have said, okay, I hope I've guided you along the path, and that requires some discipline. This week in your prime groups, you're going to have a chance to kind of talk about that. I love that we've got this opportunity to come together as a community and say, what have you learned as a parent? How have you learned to discipline? What are some of the tricks, the tips that you have learned in showing them how it works? This is what another proverb in Proverbs 23 says: don't fail to discipline your children. Kind of already covered that. The rod of punishment won't kill them. It's not going to kill them if they lose their phone. It's not going to kill them. And I could get in trouble for saying something like this. It's not going to kill them if they go to bed without dinner once. I mean, if you do it every night, you've got other issues. I mean, there's a whole bigger picture here. But there are things that we're like, oh no, that's going to traumatize them forever. And sometimes it will. You have to be careful. You have to be sensitive. And we'll get to that in a second. But this idea of discipline, oh, it's going to be the end of them. No, it might hurt. And they might even get mad at you. And frankly, they probably should. Unless there's some, just thank you, parent, for disciplining me. I appreciate the opportunity that I have to learn at this particular moment. If that happens, please send me an email. Facebook message me. I'd love to know. I want to use it as an illustration because I'm sure that's just really cool. But, you know, it's going to sting. It's going to hurt. And then he goes on and says, because physical discipline may well save them from death. And we need to understand the bigger picture. It feels bad to be corrected way back on the path. But when they get to the end, they can look back and say, oh, wow, I made it to the end. But that correction, that discipline, it should sting. And you don't. We have to stop, and I'll say this in a second, but we have to stop worrying about some of these things and say, okay, what is going to sting for my child in this situation? And some things here. The first thing you need to understand is that, just to be clear, you know, spanking is not wrong. Biblically, it is not wrong. Physical abuse is wrong. And we've gotten to a culture where it's like, oh, we can't touch our kid. No. God says to do it within the right context. And of course, again, if you're spanking your like 18-year-old, like, that's just weird. Like, don't. But just to be clear, and it doesn't mean you have to spank. It doesn't mean you have to spank all the time. It doesn't mean any of that. But just understand that it is not wrong. And we have a culture that's saying it's wrong. So I'm just want to be clear with that. The word rod, the word is a physical tool of discipline. So, but some things to keep in mind. The first thing about stinging is that it should change based on the personality of your children. You can't just discipline across the board the same way if you want it to sting. I was the son that when I would get spanked, and you can't even do this anymore, but I had one of those plastic paint stirrers. That was the tool of choice for my parents. Do you remember those plastic ones that had all the holes in it? And they went, whew, they whistled as they were coming. No, nobody. Now they're all wooden ones. But this thing whistled. And it would whistle right before it smacked my butt. And it hurt, kind of. But I was the son that was like, didn't hurt. Didn't hurt. You know, like, and so that didn't work so well for me. But if I wasn't allowed to go over to my friend's house, my friend Matt's house, now that hurt. Whoa, wait a second. And so for me, that was something my parents had to learn as I, you know, based on my personality. In my family, there are some kids that physical discipline works better. Technology, now that they've all got their own Kindles, that works pretty nicely too. I have one child in particular that honestly I can just look at and say, I was really disappointed. And they'll break into tears. And that, well, you didn't physically take anything away or some of the time. No, but that was discipline because that stung. And that's the issue here. I hope you hear that. So it needs to change in the personality of your kids. That's going to be different. You can't just do it across the board the same way. Other thing it needs to do is it needs to change, of course, as I said, as your kids age. You know, hopefully you're not disciplining an infant by taking away their phone. And again, you know, actually, from what I understand this morning, Josh, maybe taking away Adeline's little toy phone would be discipline for her, but, you know, the dangly keys maybe, but when they get older, there's, you know, it changes, it needs to change. And so if you're still doing it the same way, mentally, I want to tell you, consider adapting as your children grow, as they grow. They're in different phases, they're different stages, emotionally, physically, the whole deal. And then the other thing with that is to keep in mind that if you don't change, it might be because you're just being lazy. And again, parenting is work. Discipline is work. It means you're seeking out. You're being careful to do it. And just to keep that in mind, that it should probably change as your kids age. And I'll say this final thing. It should change based on personality, based on age, and probably based on situation. Punishment fit the crime kind of a deal. And we have this punishment, and I hope it's not cruel and unusual, but we used to have this. One of my children would have, and I maybe started to show this before, would have an issue with thinking through things. You know what you're supposed to do, but they just went and did the wrong thing and didn't think. And so in that particular situation, the punishment was they had to get 3 stars twice by doing Just Dance to Aretha Franklin's Think. And that required usually 5 or 6 times. And they're like, can we stop? No, I want you to see you get 3 stars because I want you to think before you do something. And I'm telling you, you start saying, you better think. You watch the whole family. They know the song. So that was, for that particular incident, that's what was necessary. You know, and just trying to make sure that you're making the punishment fit the crime. And some things are bigger deals and you need to make a bigger issue of it. Some things are smaller deals and you can say, you know what, that's wrong. I expect you not to do that again. So you just need to, and it's your job. I'm not your kid's parent. It's your job to know your children, to know the situation. So just keep that in mind, that this sting idea can look many, many different shapes and forms. But make sure you're consistent with it and make sure it hurts. Make sure it stings. If it doesn't, it's not going to correct them. They're just going to say, well, it's just worth it. It's par for the course. I'll just keep taking that and keep going in the direction they're headed, off the path. Your job is to bring them back on the path. So the method should sting. And I understand we need to be careful. You need to be careful and sensitive. If you're disciplining in anger, you're already in trouble. But making sure that the stinging is not abuse. You can say things that can correct, and you can say things that can damage. You can spank and cause a sting, and you can spank and cause a broken bone. And there are issues there that you need to be careful on so many levels. I mean, not just our culture, which, yeah, these days, you know, you have to be extra, extra careful. But just as a godly parent, as an example of a follower of Jesus, you know, make it sting, but just be careful. And the other thing I want to say, too, about this whole concept of sting and discipline is that if you were abused or been with someone or a family member was abused, you're probably hesitant to not do it, to not discipline, because you saw the extreme. You saw the horror. You saw how bad it was. But it was. And I'm sorry. But it doesn't mean we are not supposed to do it ourselves. You might have eaten something at one point and gotten food poisoning. and it might have been nasty. You might have been throwing up and pooping up and doing it at the same time, but you didn't stop eating because it's still something that's important to do. And so I just want to say that, and I want to be sensitive because, you know, that I understand. Those are big, big issues, but we have to make sure that we're not ignoring what God has told us to do because of something that was bad that happened to us. And I guess that's all I'll offer it in that way. Being sensitive, that I'm aware, yes, these are big deals, these are big issues. But it doesn't give us kind of this, well, we don't have to do it now. No, you still need to discipline, to correct your children. And then the third way of discipline here is, and I can't even read my notes, is goal. The goal is to restore. That is the goal. It's not revenge. It's not getting back. It's not pain is not the goal. The sting is not the goal. The sting is the means to the goal. Because you love your kids. And honestly, and I remember my parents saying, this is going to hurt me way more than it's going to hurt you. I've learned that that's actually true. If we're disciplining with the right goal in mind. Because there's times where, honestly, I just look at my kids and I know they're broken. And I feel like, wow, they know that they did something wrong. But my job is to correct them and to keep them on the path. And so there's times where I'm like, it would be easier for me to ignore it. It would be easier for me to let it go. But I love and I want to fix them. I want to keep them on the path. I want them to successfully cross the finish line. So the goal is restoring. The goal is to make it right. The goal is to fix it, to correct them. And this is what Hebrews says. And in your prime groups this week, if you have a chance, this is kind of one of those extra things you can look at. But this passage is full of some really cool stuff about discipline. And it actually has nothing to do with, as much to do with our disciplining our kids, but God disciplining us. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. And have you forgotten the encouraging words? Now listen to that. The encouraging words that he spoke to you as his children. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. Sounds familiar, right? And he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. We are disciplined by God. We are corrected by God. And that's because he loves us. Because his best for us, his path for us is the best for us. Let me say that again. His path for us is the best for us. Sin says, no, I know my own way. I know my own path. And sometimes God will use something to correct us. Sometimes that is painful. Sometimes that is death. Sometimes that is trauma. Sometimes that's an accident. Sometimes that's something that happens that God says, I'm going to bring in this horrible situation because I need to correct you back on the path because I love you, because my path is the best for you. And that is what God does to us. That's what God does for us. He disciplines us because he loves us. He goes on and says, who has ever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? Apparently, Paul does not live in 2007-16 America, because we hear that a lot. Anyway, he says, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Ouch. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? And, you know, as adults, hopefully, you know, today's Mother's Day, we celebrate moms. Facebook is full of all these people saying all these wonderful things about what their moms did for them. And as adults, we kind of look back and say, yeah, I didn't like it at the time, but now I see. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for correcting me. And as parents, we start to realize, you know, it probably wasn't even easy. It was easier to be lazy. But we understand and we respect our parents for disciplining us. And then he goes on and says, for our earthly fathers, our earthly parents disciplined us for a few years, 18 give or take, doing the best they knew how. And that's just a beautiful freeing passage verse for us as parents. Do the best you know how, the best you know how. And that means you can't be lazy, but that you do it the best you can. And if you fail, welcome to humanity. If you mess up sometimes, congratulations. You need Jesus. Just like all of us do. Anyway, but God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. God is getting us onto the path of holiness, onto the path of his right. He says, no, discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. Just reinforcing what we said. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. See, the goal is to restore. The goal is to correct. The goal is to bring us back to the path, to get us back on the path that matters. And that should be your goal. That should be my goal as a parent, as a caregiver, as an adult, as a grandparent, whatever. In disciplining our children, the goal should be to restore. If it stops with the sting, you've missed it. You're not disciplining. If it doesn't even get to the sting, you've missed it then too. But the goal should be, I love you, so I'm going to make it sting so that I can correct you. And correction means to educate. It means to restore. It means to bring you back. We saw that earlier in the passage in Proverbs 14. To bring back onto the path, to get them right. And that means as parents, and can I give you the value? This is something, and I don't mean it as a bad, it's Mother's Day. I don't mean to be insulting my own parents. But this wasn't something I learned until I met my wife. And we weren't married when I met her. But when we met, I remember her telling me about how her father would discipline, and then he would always go up and sit down and talk with her afterwards. And that's something I've tried to mimic, to imitate, because this idea of saying you were disciplined and then just sitting down with your kids and later, give them a little space, give them some time to think about it, but don't ignore it. Don't make it like, hey, remember that time, all this different times? Make it fresh and real, so maybe that evening, whatever. Sit down and say, now, do you understand why I did that? And hopefully they do, if you were intentional about it, if you were making it, sting, but having a purpose with it, then hopefully they do. And then you know what you do? You hug them and say, I love you so much. I love you so much that I'm not willing to allow you just to drift off to the path, off the path. I love you so much that I'm willing to do this, and I know it hurts you. And understand, if you're a loving parent and you love your kids, it's going to hurt as parents as well. But our job is to restore. Our job is to say, now look, next time don't do this. Why? Well, because here's why. Whatever the situation is, explain it. But have that talk. And this requires time and effort and work. It does. That's unfortunate. It would be a whole lot easier if we could just be lazy. But we can't. God has given us the responsibility. And, frankly, on some level, you took some of that responsibility when you started doing what you were doing to make you have kids. But understand that that is the goal, is to restore, is to get them back on the path. Hug them. Fix it. Make it right. There shouldn't be bitterness there. I mean, again, your kids can be angry. They don't have to sit and thank you for it. They probably will. If you're consistent and you keep directing them on the path, it doesn't take long. And I like the ATU skit where Greg was being disciplined and Wilson, he never gets disciplined, right? I do it backwards. Other way around. Wilson was being disciplined and Greg never gets disciplined. And the idea that the one was like, oh, see, your parents, that's so funny. I never get in trouble for things. And they came to realize that actually it does help them. It does matter. And it doesn't take long for your kids, especially as they get older, to look around and see what it looks like to be off the path, to see what it looks like. And again, it comes back to that cornerstone, that capstone idea from last week. Jesus needs to be the center. And if Jesus is the center, we're going to discipline our kids because we want them to make Jesus the center of their lives. We want them to make Jesus the most important piece of their families. And it's going to require work. It's going to require hard work. But it is the way that we show love. So as parents, please, this is a family hack. You want to show your kids how much you love them? Discipline them. Discipline them to keep them on the path. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. I thank you for your word, and I love that line in Hebrews there about as much as we did as well as we know best, and the fact that we're trying our hardest. And I love the fact that you don't just leave us alone. You don't just throw us out there to kind of sink or swim. That you give us your word to direct us and to guide us and to help us. And I pray for each of us here. If we're a parent, if we're an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, whatever our role, a child caregiver, whatever that looks like, God. And even if we're not, I pray that you would help us to understand that discipline is a loving thing. And that it's going to require us to take some steps and to work and to have an attitude to correct back on the path. And God, I pray for the children of every person in this room. And wherever their children are, age-wise, wherever they are in life, God, we want to see them on your path. And so if we have the opportunity as parents, and maybe that is a stinging physical discipline because they're children, they're in our homes, they're teenagers, maybe they're grown children, and we just need to have a hard talk. I just pray that you would help us to do and say what needs to be done so that we can love our kids enough to bring them back on the path to following you. Thank you so much, God.